three necromancers meet in death. A metallic chamber the size of a coffin floats 6 inches from the calm waters. Through a small gap in the metal, a voice reverberates from the chamber.
Nicholas and Castor are dead. Our plans must change.
I have yet to find the final pieces of the loom.
Ekyo far, Vekred.
Indeed. The time to fight has come. Spindle, your focus is on the airship. That is where the Fellowship holds their pieces of the machine. Carriers and constructs.
Spindle nods, her spider mask bobbing. The strings extending from her sleeves into Death's gray waters twitch as she begins giving orders to her minions.
Pekio, head north to Bear Point. I trust you to be able to salvage what is left of Castor's forces.
Pekio straightens as his liege addresses him. The shapes crawling under his armor writhe, and one escapes, winding around his arm before finding a place to burrow beneath his vambrace.
I will bring the first attack to them in the giant plains. The future of our world and countless others relies on us. We may not meet again. I wish the two of you luck.
As the two necromancers leave the confluence, Reinhardt's chamber remains. The metallic surface opens another inch. Small wisps of smoke rise from the opening, and a small hand, withered and blackened, emerges and brushes the surface of the water. Ripples circle outward.
Are you there?
His voice echoes along the river, his question unanswered. He opens his eyes in life and rubs his face. The ice cracks from his legs as he stands from kneeling. He tucks his old ocarina under his mattress and puts the spelled sword in the secret chamber behind the tapestry of Yaren Steinhardt fighting the necromancer, Aratum. He puts on his white cloak and becomes Brill again. Young Brill, so full of life and promise. He puts on his medallion, exits the chamber, and begins the long climb up to the top of the tower. Balthazar stands looking out a window. A line of paladins, hundreds of them, atop horses and planescreamers and wagons and caravans and walking, disappears into the distance along the north road. 7 tall windows arch over 7 high-backed chairs in the center of the room. A massive stone folk stands head bowed in deference to the seer.
The necromancer on Volk has been defeated. The town of Bastilla has suffered many losses, but is now safe.
And Builder Peck and her party?
Gone. Disappeared.
Disappeared. Balthazar glares sidelong at the stone folk. That is disappointing. If they prove troublesome in the future, it is on your head. His eyes narrow as an Anza appears in the door to the Hall of Seers. Nevertheless, we must continue forward. Feroth, I trust the pieces of the machine are on their way north. The third piece was loaded onto the airship in Gilder. And you're not with the airship. There was a conductor in the... I heard about the arsonists. A waste of time chasing them. Their kind will be dealt with soon enough. You should be accompanying the machine. Its safety is paramount. Don't you realize what we're doing here? You... Just prepare our mounts. Be ready to ride in an hour. Acilis, send my condolences to the family of the paladin and her two friends. Say they died honorably or something similar. If they're not dead now, they'll be handled before this is all over. The two paladins continue standing in the center of the room. Balthazar turns to fully face them. Now? As they hurry off out of the chamber and down the long stairs, Balthazar returns to the window, crossing his arms and closing his eyes. Soon, all the pieces of the puzzle would fall together. Ever since that fateful day when the rogue paladin Calum Clara opened his eyes to a new truth, Balthazar had been working tirelessly to create a new, beautiful world. When Clara pushed him through an opening into a new world, the other place, he was greeted by a landscape of endless peace, wildflowers stretching from horizon to horizon.
Balthasar?
A voice called out to him, whispering his name. It knew the most intimate details about him and called itself the Guardian. The Guardian helped him return to his world only moments after he left it, imparting tremendous knowledge before he left the other place. Heeding the spirit's lessons, he spelled the Heretic's mirror to speak with the Guardian many times over the past 30 years.
Balthasar.
Balthasar scoured the White Library's forbidden books and manuscripts for any mention of the other place. He searched ancient texts and strange forbidden tomes, magical scrolls and cursed tablets, looking for anything he could find. And all this time, he held conversations with the Guardian. The spirit eventually introduced others like itself, with names familiar to Balthasar: Mason, Sculptor, Seer. Searching the depths of the library, he stumbled upon something truly ancient and strange. In the gloom of the White Library, Balthasar unrolled a stiff sheet. Its surface was like paper, but unlike anything he had seen before. When his fingers ran across it, archaic runes sprang to life across the surface. The scroll, written in a nearly forgotten writing system from across the ocean, took years to translate all that it contained. Though much of it was beyond his comprehension, he found descriptions of a machine that the Guardian, who he was now thinking of as his guardian, had described many times. A machine that could open a passage between worlds and return these spirits, the architects, to Earth, bringing about a new age of peace and prosperity, and banishing the dead and restoring the Earth's natural order. An unspoiled existence, like his days growing up, the flowering fields, the rolling hills, the pure snow covering mountain and valley before.
Balthasar.
Balthasar. Balthasar, are you with us?
Balthasar shakes from his reverie and turns from the window to face the three seers. Kaisa Brook, a white feathered Isian with fierce, keen eyes. Coralia Obex, a Hylian scholar taught by the brightest minds in Highreach, and Brill Reinhardt, Gilder elite, and friend to the ever-young prince.
You knew we were in opposition to this operation, and yet you began it anyway.
It was a majority vote.
Convenient that the minority were away at the time of the vote. You held the council without giving us a chance to make an argument.
The others had made up their minds, I'm afraid. I expect you three will be joining the operation shortly.
This is absurd. We are leaving countless towns vulnerable, towers empty, and you're making a show of it? All to chase a myth. Every person to die while our paladins are marching north instead of protecting the citizens of this country is more blood on your hands.
I will be accompanying you north, if only to take command of our people when you inevitably fail. The prince has already written pardons for those fellows who chose to remain behind. Kaisa and Coralia will be gathering them and sending them where they are needed. I was never an admirer of your showy ambition, Balthasar, but now you have done irreparable damage to the honor of this council and made an enemy of me.
A shame, then, that so many stand with me. Come, Feroth is saddling the horses. Won't you ride with me, Lord Reinhardt? And Anza stumbles from an alley, landing on the wet cobblestones.
What was that? Where am I? How did I get here? What is going on?
Turning onto her back, she begins to catch her breath, her long coat now tattered at the edges, splaying out underneath her. Loosening her scarf, she takes in the cold winter air as snow swirls down from the overcast sky. Blinking, she takes in her surroundings, tall buildings, people, the noise of the city. It's completely different from where she was just moments ago. People walking on the street give her a wide berth, and Isian quietly says something about drunks to her partner as they walk by.
You look like you've been to death and back.
Chauncey sees a man come into view above her. His face is young and his eyes are intensely blue. He squints down at her, and a faint smile plays across his lips.
What? Who are you? How could you? Where am I? What's going on?
You're in Gilder. You've seen something, haven't you?
How do you know what I've seen?
I've seen it too.
What?
The man reaches down a hand to help Chauncey up.
Who are you?
I think you know who I am. You owe me a favor.
You? But how could you possibly be here?
Why don't we discuss that over some tea?
Why do I feel like things are going to go very badly for me right now?